This is Money Talk.
Our money is your money. We print it for you to use.
America's most trusted advisor on money matters for 25 years. Now, Bob Brinker.
And sitting in for Bob Brinker, Tom Bakar. Bob has decided to take the day off, and I'm honored once again to be sitting in his seat, trying to do the job that I know I can't do that he does, because he has so much more knowledgeable about specific things in the market. But we can talk about big picture stuff and some of the other stuff, like what we just did in the last half hour, or in the last hour, my mistake there. We talked about who might be the best president for the stock market, for your personal investments. And personal investments is what this is all about. Money Talk is about all different kinds of money, and one of the most important kinds of money, one of the most important kinds of wealth, one of the most important signs of personal security and stability is a home. And to that end, we are joined by Ralph McLaughlin, who is the chief economist for Trulia. He's also involved with the Zillow Group, but he's the chief economist for Trulia, one of the really important sources of information for people to find out what real estate is selling for and what the likely value of their property is, or at least the ballpark in which they should sell it. So, Ralph, welcome to Money Talk.
Thanks, Tom. Happy to be here again.
Let's talk about where we are right now. Here we are, middle of April almost. Where are we in the house selling season?
We're in the peak buying season. This is the peak. And we have some new research out, actually, that came out about 2-3 weeks ago that shows it's actually a great time if you're going to sell a home, not so great if you're going to buy a home.
Let's talk about the selling part of it. Why is it such a great time?
Inventory is down, and it's down a lot over the past 4 years. It's down about 35 to 40%, depending on what submarket you're in.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's great news if you're selling a home. It means you're selling something that's in limited supply, and which means you're probably likely to have multiple offers depending on the market that you're in, and possibly a selling price that's over your asking price.
So having said that, still sometimes, you know, you'll look and you'll see the houses have been on the market for weeks, if not months. If the inventory is so low, why aren't they just getting snapped up?
Well, again, it depends on the market which you're in, and it depends on the pricing of any individual house. You know, roughly speaking, if you're pricing it at roughly what the market value is compared to other comparables, you're probably likely going to be able to sell it relatively quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably one of the most difficult things when it comes to selling a house, is pricing it right. And that's where having both, a starting ballpark estimate like we provide, but also, knowledge of an appraiser and also an agent.
The number to call is 1-800-934-2221. That's 1-800-934-2221. You can talk to Trulia's chief economist, Ralph McLaughlin, and you can ask some questions about your property or your market. They follow the entire United States, so he's a very knowledgeable person. And let's talk about some of the states that are really doing well right now. What would you say would be like the top 4 or 5 states in the country right now?
Yeah, so we tend to actually follow metropolitan areas because they represent housing markets. But mm-hmm. if you were to sort of typify, what's going on at the state level, California is always doing very, very well, especially if you're a seller, because inventory is down and prices are up. Other non-California states, Washington State, particularly Seattle, Oregon, Portland metropolitan area, Denver is doing quite well in some of the Colorado markets, as well as Texas, actually, and not just Austin. A lot of people study the housing market, drawn their attention to Austin, but it's not just Austin. Dallas is actually booming, surprisingly so. There, depending on which metric you look at, their year-over-year price increases around 13-14%, which is actually pretty surprising, because they built a lot of housing in Dallas, and so that's what we're watching primarily. To summarize, primarily in the Midwest and the West are the markets that are doing well. Florida also is doing well.
Now, when you say Florida, they're all different parts of Florida. Well, let's talk about, first of all, are there in California, certainly a booming state. This is the one that we happen to be broadcasting from right now. But there are parts of California not doing well at all.
There certainly are. California is a big state. Again, sort of reflecting the rest of the country, there's very much a east-west divide within California. Mm-hmm. Western coastal markets tending to do much better than eastern markets. However, over the last year, we have seen some of the central and eastern markets, particularly Stockton, Modesto, Sacramento, even Bakersfield and El Centro, just east of San Diego, are starting to pick up. And we think that likely is sort of reflecting some spillover demand from, you know, the more fast-growing western parts of the state.
Let's talk about what has been traditionally defined as the Rust Belt, the Clevelands, the Detroits, the Youngstowns, et cetera. For years, all you saw was just migration from those areas. What are we seeing now? Is there any stability there?
Well, you know, we've relabeled the Rust Belt because we think that's kind of has a pejorative ring to it. We like to call it the Bargain Belt from a housing market perspective, because if you're looking to buy a house there, it's a great place to buy a house because homes are relatively affordable. Again, not as great if you're a seller just because the housing market's out as hot. But if you're looking, you know, especially if you're a first-time home buyer, that's the place to be. You know, to buy your first home there wouldn't take up much more than 15 to 20% of your income, which is in stark contrast to, say, here in San Francisco or Los Angeles, where, you know, if you're a starter home buyer, you'd have to spend 40, 50, 60% of your income to buy a house. So great place to be if you're going to buy a home.
What about the Eastern Seaboard?
Eastern Seaboard, again, depends on where you are. Boston and New York, you know, always standouts. Other markets, you know, Pittsburgh is actually starting to show some signs of life, which for a while had been quite depressed because it went through sort of a post-industrial recovery state, but Pittsburgh is a very great place to buy a home if you're, you know, looking to find a starter home. New York, Boston, again, starting to become quite pricey, especially depending on which submarket you're in. Manhattan, obviously, very, very expensive, but Boston's also doing quite well.
And you say Florida again. Is it throughout Florida, or is it just parts of Florida?
Yeah, Miami obviously is doing very well, but even places outside of Miami, so Orlando, Fort Lauderdale, Sarasota metropolitan areas are showing, you know, pretty strong year-over-year growth in prices, around 9, 10, 11%, you know, towards the upper end of the pack when it comes to price increases. So, again, that's great news if you're a seller, if you're a buyer, and you haven't received, you know, a bump in income over the last couple of years. It actually means you're worse off. So that's what we're seeing in Florida markets. You know, some of that also may be spurred by, you know, a larger share of 55, 60-plus age households starting to retire, starting to look south. Many markets in Florida are actually, as you may know, you know, retirement destinations.
Yeah.
You want a house in Florida.
Yeah. The reason I'm asking all this is that a lot of people are very, they're very concerned about moving. It's not that they're concerned so much about cashing in on their house, but they're concerned about moving. They're concerned about uprooting their lives. Sometimes it's just the process of moving. Other times it's the idea that they're going to go somewhere else. Is that one of the primary things that holds people back from moving on or moving up, et cetera?
You know, we think now actually that is starting to play a role, particularly when you look at inventory. Again, like I mentioned, with low inventory, it's great if you're going to sell a home. But if you sell your home, you're going to have to find someplace else to live, right? Mm-hmm. If you're going to move within a market where inventory is low, you know, it could be very difficult. You may, you know, do very well from selling your home, but finding another one can be very, very difficult. And we mm-hmm. think that's primarily hitting the middle sector of the market, that if inventory is down for all homes and they're becoming quite expensive on the upper end, and you're thinking, you know, hey, I own a middle-tier home, middle-priced home, I might sell it and try to trade up, and there's nothing there for you, you probably aren't going to do it.
Yeah.
So we think that is, you know, at least starting to have some effects, some cyclical effects back on inventory. People, instead of selling their home, might be, you know, choosing to renovate or add on to their existing home rather than trying to find another one, because there aren't that many out there.
When you guys try to determine the value of a market, what are some of the key factors that you put into your analysis, if you will, mm-hmm. To come up with the numbers? And I know that we talked last time that there are different algorithms for different kinds of things, but what do you guys look at?
Yeah, so it really depends. When we're looking at markets, when we're looking at overall markets, what we do is look at the value or the sale of all homes, and then come up with a central metric, which is usually a median. And that's typically okay if you're trying to compare between markets or compare markets over time. When you start to get down to smaller geographical scales, when you're looking at an individual house or an individual neighborhood, that's where it becomes important to do a little bit more of a sophisticated analysis. And that's where we start to include, you know, the typical things associated with a house, which is the size of the house, the beds, the baths, you know, the age, so on and so forth. But then also neighborhood type effects too. So, you know, are there parks nearby? What is the accessibility of that particular neighborhood? And, you know, what is the trend we're seeing with other sales, with respect to prices? So, we take into account not just the individual characteristics of a specific house and property, but also what's going around, you know, in the broader area.
Let me ask a question. I don't know if you've thought about this, but I'm sure you have, actually. What about neighborhoods that are being gentrified, which is to say tend to be older neighborhoods, tend to be lower-income neighborhoods, and yet some people decide they want to move into that area and they want to buy a house at a price and fix the house up, and that's usually what the drill is. You trade off a low price for the expense of fixing and all that stuff. This whole concept of gentrification, how do you look at that, and what's the net effect of it?
Yeah, well, it's not something that we've looked at, you know, in depthly a lot, because it is very much a nebulous, definition. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things where you kind of know it when you see it, but from a statistical perspective, it's very difficult. Things that we do tend to look at are, trends in demographics. So are there particular neighborhoods that have seen significant changes in demographics, over the last, 3, 5, 7, 10 years? So, for example, West Oakland, just across the bay from here, we've seen, pretty significant changes, especially demographic changes. Mm-hmm. Other things that we look for is, increases in prices or also increases in flipping activity. And that's something that we've looked at earlier this year. We didn't look at it at the neighborhood level. We looked at it at the metropolitan level. But we are starting to see some places where flipping activity, which we're defining as a house that's bought and then sold again within a year as a flip. And some markets in the West are starting to see increases, particularly Vegas and Phoenix, and also in Florida as well.
What about moving into the central city where, it used to be people wanted to fly from the central city and a few, brave souls, stuck around or, moved back in. Are we seeing, because of the concept of commutes and all that stuff, are we seeing a return to people really wanting to be directly in the central urban business area?
So, yes and no. Yes and no. Don't mean to dodge that question by that. So, no, in the sense that if you look at population growth across the country and you look at whether population growth is occurring in cities or in the suburbs, it is overwhelmingly occurring in the suburbs. That's where people are moving to. That's where population growth is happening. But as you get closer into the city, population growth declines until you get to the very center, and then you see a little bit of an uptick. So there is some evidence that cities are starting to see some population growth, but the suburbs are overwhelmingly the places where people to move. So that's on the no side. Mm-hmm. On the yes side, what is different is the types of people that are moving into cities. So cities are becoming increasingly wealthier. Residents who are moving into city centers tend to be wealthier than the average person who moves, and they also tend to be a little bit more educated, and those go hand in hand. Mm-hmm. And from a demographic ethnicity standpoint, they also tend to be white. So that's sort of the shifts that we've seen, over the last 5 or 10 years. So from a population perspective, cities aren't growing really. They're growing slower than suburbs, but we're really seeing demographic changes occurring in the city center, which, may allude to this question of gentrification.
The number to call, 1-800-934-2221. Ralph McLaughlin is here. He's from Trulia. He can talk to you about housing values. He can talk to you about trends going on in the region. He can certainly talk to you about maybe things that you're thinking about as it relates to the buying or selling of property or maybe a second home and all of that stuff, which we're going to talk about anyhow. The number to call, 1-800-934-2221. My name's Tom Baker. I'm sitting in for Bob Brinker, who's taking a day off, and this is Money Talk.
Money Talk. July 25th, 2006, we adopted April. She's a purebred orange and white Brittany. But when she started scratching like crazy, I said to John, it's got to be her food. You know, what you put into a dog is what you get out. We heard this radio commercial, and this woman was so excited about Dinovite.
Dinovite.com.
859-428-1000.
I said to John, oh, I'm getting this. So the Dinovite comes, and I thought, a light bulb moment. She loves her dog food. She always leaves a little bit in her bowl. So we added a huge scoop of Dinovite in it, and then we swished it around like gravy. She dove into that bowl. She licked it clean. She loved it. So that's been the routine for almost 10 years. April gets Dinovite for dessert. Her coat is now soft. It's silky. It's smooth. She even walks like a little princess.
859-428-1000.
On Dinovite. She's Little Miss Hollywood.
Dinovite.com.
I'm known as America's most trusted advisor on money matters, but who can you trust when it comes to taking control of your FICO score? Experian, America's largest credit bureau, that's who. With enrollment in Experian Credit Tracker, you get everyday access to your Experian credit report and FICO score, alerts of key credit changes, and best-in-class fraud resolution support. So make this the year you get serious about your credit. Start with your $1 credit report and FICO score at Experian.com.
QL1, does Rocket Mortgage require me to fill out a bunch of paperwork?
Negative control. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans is the first on-demand mortgage machine that quickly imports your financial data. You can go through the entire mortgage approval process in minutes.
That is fast, like rocket fast.
It also works on any internet-ready device, so you can get a Rocket Mortgage at any time or place you choose. Over.
3, 2, 1.
Rocket Mortgage at QuickenLoans.com. Push button. Get mortgage.
Rocket.
Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Number 33.
If diets and diet products keep failing to flatten your belly, it may not be a diet product you need. You may need SomaBiotics, the shockingly effective breakthrough that flattens bloated bellies fast by cleansing pounds of waste from your body. Right now, you can find out for free how much flatter SomaBiotics will make your belly, because they're currently giving away free trials to the public. For yours, call 1-800-600-5815. Strict limit of one per household. SomaBiotics is not a diet product. It's scientifically formulated with natural ingredients to cleanse your system, flatten bloated bellies, and combat periodic heartburn and acid reflux. If your belly flattening results are too dramatic, simply reduce use to every other day. If diets keep failing to flatten your belly, it may not be a diet you need. It may be SomaBiotics. Call now for your free trial and see how much flatter it makes your belly. 1-800-600-5815. Hurry. Call now for details while they're still giving trials away for free. 1-800-600-5815. That's 1-800-600-5815.
After 30 years of exceptional nationwide growth and expansion, two men and a truck, Movers Who Care, are coming up on their first anniversary in Los Angeles. The well-known brand originated in Michigan and earned a 96% referral rate by sticking to its core values. Two men offer premium home and business moving services down the block or across the country. If you're planning a move, go with the extensively trained, courteous, and reliable moving pros you'll find at Two Men and a Truck, the official movers of the LA Kings radio broadcast. Moving your puck? Use their truck. Twomen.com. That's TWOMen.com.
And now, the top three reasons to go to Morongo Casino Resort and Spa this Thursday.
Tacos, tequila, and the drive home. Need I say more?
The drive home is going on the road again, this time making a stop at Tacos and Tequila at the Morongo Casino Resort and Spa for a live broadcast.
Well, you know what? Morongo always offers up good times, and this Thursday is not going to be any different. In fact, it's going to be crazier because we're there.
The drive home with Jillian Barbary and John Phillips live at Tacos and Tequila.
This Thursday from 3 to 6.
Sponsored by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa.
The drive home and Morongo Casino. Good time
is Money Talk.
Tom Bakar sitting in for Bob Brinker on Money Talk. And my guest right at the moment is Ralph McLaughlin, who's the chief economist for Trulia, also involved with the Zillow organization because they're kind of one and the same now. And we've got a couple calls, and let's just take them from Palatine, Illinois. Jane, go ahead. Are you there, Jane? Go ahead.
Hello?
Hi, Jane. Go ahead.
Hi. Yes, thank you for taking my call. My question, I purchased a townhome property almost in the height in 2007. Currently, it's been appraised about $50,000 less than what I paid for it. And I really don't have any desire to stay there any longer, but I'm wondering if I should just cut my losses or invest another $10,000 for the windows and kitchen upgrades, et cetera, and then try to sell it.
Well,
you know, it's a very good question. If I may ask you, how much should you pay for your house?
$270,000.
So, you know, $50,000 less is a fairly big chunk, right? You know, one of the best things you should do is actually, if you can, talk to an appraiser, because an appraiser is going to know your market really, really well. But I can talk to some specifics here, which is typically major upgrades, you know, for kitchen and even the bathroom. You know, at best, you might get your money back, and you might make your house a little bit more competitive than maybe other homes in your area. But, you know, very rarely are they really going to pay off in a big way. So, you know, the thing to really ask yourself and also ask your agent is whether or not buyers are going to pay, you know, willing to pay to have a house that's, you know, ready to go, that's been fully upgraded. And it's tough to know without being in your specific market. Small things might matter. Increasing the curb appeal probably you know, would help, even though it seems like a very, very small and easy thing to do. Those things tend to cost, you know, a low amount, putting in, you know, maybe a new door or some new paints or some new landscaping. But they can really help. And just like anything, first impressions often matter. But if you're thinking about, you know, trying to upgrade your kitchen or your bathroom in the hopes of getting back that $50,000 that you need to make up, chances are it probably is not going to help that much.
What about the idea that she says to tell the salesperson, if there's a person that's interested but they want something, I will go ahead and spend $10,000 to replace the windows. I mean, what I'm asking is, can she throw a bargaining chip into that thing and do better?
Yeah, certainly you could. You could say, you know, if you get an offer that you're not completely happy with, you know, you'd like a little bit more, you could say, well, I will do these extra things in the meantime to help you know, meet somewhere in the middle. You know, there's certainly trade-offs associated with that. You know, the other thing is to also think, you know, ask your agent what buyers might pay for your home without doing those upgrades, and then what, you know, the agent think you might be able to get for the house with those upgrades, and see whether or not that difference, you know, is worthwhile.
That's an interesting point, because it seems that, you know, if you're in a really hot market where you can just pretty much demand whatever you want, but it seems that much of the country is still very much a horse trading kind of situation, right?
It is. Unless you're in the really hot markets, you know, you probably, as a seller, are going to have to do, you know, some things to appease buyers. You know, there are only a few places in that country where it purely is a seller's market, right? So if you're in the rest of the country, you probably do have to make some amends. Still a very good time to buy, but, you know, if you're in the Midwest, like where Jane is, you might, you know, have to reach out and try to meet somewhere in the middle with the buyer.
And those who try to bid too low to really, you know, kind of hardball somebody into that, they should think that they might lose the property simply because the person will be insulted.
Sorry, say that again?
We'll come back and talk about that. The number to call, 1-800-934-2221, 1-800-934-2221. Tom Bakar sitting in for Ralph McLaughlin and sitting in for Bob Brinker, and this is Money Talk.
This is Money Talk.
GEICO applauds your inner park ranger.
Mother Nature appreciates the part of you that knows the difference between the red-bellied and the three-toed woodpecker. GEICO also has specialized agents who admire your gusto for the great outdoors. Agents who help with more than just car insurance. These GEICO agents can insure the RV that will take you and the whole family cross-country. The RV that makes National Forest synonymous with Happy Place. So what are you waiting for? 180 types of woodpeckers are ready to be identified.
GEICO for your RV. See how much you could save.
Gary, why aren't you outside enjoying the party?
Hey, Michelle. It's this heartburn. When it hits, it really hits hard.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's it. I've had it. I'm going to kick acid with Rolaids.
Rolaids Advanced goes to work instantly for powerful relief of your worst heartburn, bloating, and gas.
Wow, you're packed fast.
Yeah, I feel much better.
Now this is a party. Kick acid and gas with Rolaids Advanced.
If you're considering going back to school, ask yourself the following questions. Do you need the flexibility to take classes on your schedule? Do you have college credits you need transferred? Do you want to earn a quality degree from a world-renowned university? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Arizona State University is the perfect school for you. Arizona State University offers over 100 highly ranked degree programs 100% online. You'll earn the same degree as you would on campus, from wherever you are, on your schedule. Plus, ASU Online accepts most transfer credits. For information, call 1-800-709-2636. Learn for yourself why the Wall Street Journal ranks ASU fifth in the nation for producing the best qualified graduates, and why 90% of ASU grads are recruited within 90 days of graduation. Learn to grow, learn to succeed, and learn to thrive at Arizona State University. To learn more about ASU online degrees, call 1-800-709-2636. That's 1-800-709-2636.
Know that sound? That's the sound of trouble for CPAP users. Did you know that just one drop of water in your CPAP system can become a breeding ground for mold and bacteria? Breathe that stuff in and you're battling respiratory infections, allergy attacks, and more. But here's good news. SoClean.com has released the world's first and only automated CPAP cleaner and sanitizer. It's the healthier way to clean your system because it kills 99.9% of germs in minutes. For a limited time, you can try it risk-free for 30 days. Just call 1-800-500-2395. SoClean makes cleaning your CPAP a breeze. It's completely hands-free. Just pop in your mask, close the lid, and presto, your CPAP system is clean and fresh in minutes. Don't let one drop of water wreak havoc on your body. Call SoClean.com now for your risk-free trial while supplies last. 1-800-500-2395. That's 1-800-500-2395.
Warning. If you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-798-9232. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-798-9232. That's 1-800-798-9232. 1-800-798-9232.
What's the scariest thing about going to the dentist? Opening your mouth or opening your wallet? Because just a simple cleaning can cost $100, and things like root canals can cost you hundreds more. If you don't have dental insurance to help, you should give Physicians Mutual Insurance Company a call. 1-800-300-9403. This isn't a discount plan or preventive-only coverage. This is real dental insurance that helps pay for checkups right away, so you can call today and get your teeth cleaned tomorrow. Plus, it helps cover the more expensive procedures you might need down the road. Fillings, crowns, bridges, even costly dentures. There's no deductible and no annual maximum. Your acceptance is guaranteed for one of these insurance policies, even if you're retired or on Medicare. There are no networks, so you can choose any dentist you'd like. That's right, any dentist you want. Call in the next 10 minutes and we'll rush you a free information kit with all the details. 1-800-300-9403. That's 1-800-300-9403. 1-800-300-9403.
Choosy Moms Choose Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
INOVITE.com.
This is Money Talk.
And Bob Brinker is taking a break today. My name's Tom Bakar. Honored to be sitting in his seat to keep Fort going, but he'll be back next week. And all those specific questions you have about specific kinds of investment vehicles, he's the guy to talk to. In the meantime, we're talking to Ralph McLaughlin, who is the chief economist for Trulia, also works with the Zillow Group. And we're going to go right back to our phone calls. Got some fascinating calls. This one from Ron in Wichita, Kansas. Ron, you're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call. It's an interesting topic. I'm curious about landscaping. Landscaping used to account for about 20% of the home's value. But with the millennials, the tendency is to shy away from extra work around the house. What do you find?
We haven't surveyed millennials specifically on this issue about whether or not they're willing to do stuff around the house.
But they're a huge part of the potential market.
They are a huge part of the potential market. And what we actually have found that does allude somewhat to your question here, your observation, is that millennials are actually much more likely to want to live near work or near public transit rather than out in the suburbs. So that's what their stated preferences are. And, associated with that is, well, they're probably not likely to have yards, in central cities or places near work. So, we wouldn't have any specific findings or preferences that they're showing us that they don't want to do yard work, or they don't want to have yards or buy acreage. But that could also be a function that they're still, relatively young. The oldest millennial is 34 or 35, and they're doing things, a lot later in life than they used to. So maybe in 5, 10, 15 years, they're probably not going to be much different than other generations.
Probably true.
I guess that does bode well if you have acreage.
It probably doesn't right now, but there are 83 million of them, so they will be coming into the market very, very quickly when they start, and that's good news for people they're selling, and I very much appreciate your telephone call. Let's go now to Sue in Los Altos, California, talking about capital gains. Go ahead.
Yes. Well, I actually have two questions, but one is a comment. Anyway, my question is, do you feel that the fact that, 20 years ago-ish, the capital gains treatment for the sale of a house was changed from being able to roll over your whole gain into another house to now having to pay, it's a lovely problem to have, having to pay capital gains on anything above $250,000 or $500,000 that you've made on a house? Do you think that's reducing inventory in some of the high-cost areas?
That's a very good question. And, the short answer in the high-cost areas, it certainly may be part of the story. Probably
that's
not
why I'm
explaining.
Still in my house.
Yeah, probably not, it's not explaining why all inventory is down, but in some of the hot markets, you're in Los Altos, very, very expensive. If you bought 20, 30 years ago, that's not a trivial amount of capital gains tax that you would have to pay. No. And so that certainly could be part of, part of that, part of that story. The question is also, if you were to move, would you stay in Los Altos or Bay Area, or would you move someplace else? Well, if you're going to move someplace that has a much lower cost of living, retire someplace that has a very low cost of living, maybe it doesn't feel great to pay, a high amount of taxes on that. But, you wouldn't take as big of a hit as if you were to say, stay in the Bay Area and have to buy another expensive home.
Right.
And your comment.
If I paid the capital gains on my home, I couldn't afford to buy a smaller home here.
Yeah, that's
that
no surprise at all.
Well, not only is it not weird.
And this also is just based on being in a high, like I said, it's a wonderful problem to have, sort of. And that is, for example, I know a young couple who are both physicians who chose not to even interview in the high-cost areas because even as physicians they can't afford a home.
That's a huge problem in Silicon Valley, but it's also a huge problem any place where the economy is booming. There are places in Texas that are having the same problem where the property values have gotten to the point where you can't have somebody come out because even if you pay them what they think is a lot of money, as soon as they see what it's going to cost them to either rent an apartment or house themselves, they go, I think where I'm at is pretty good.
Yeah, and it's on that point. I have a good friend who's a physician from Phoenix. Him and his wife do quite well. They live actually just outside of Sacramento, and they've had job offers to come and work in San Francisco. He does on the business management side of the medical field as a doctor, and he says no way. I could not improve my quality of life by moving from Sacramento to get what he has there as far as a house and property in San Francisco. So he's choosing just
wide open spaces there. Mm-hmm. Don in Reno, Nevada. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Hi, I just wanted to find out what the value of cash is in the market today.
So, if you're talking specifically about whether or not I should say buy a property for all cash or whether or not I should take out a mortgage. You know, the value in buying a house all cash isn't that great because interest rates are, you know, still so low. So if you're thinking about, buying all cash for, you know, a retirement property or your next property or putting 20 or 30% down, we've actually done that math. And it's actually cheaper over, you know, say a 7 to 10 year period to actually take out, you know, a mortgage when taking into account the value, you know, of that cash relative to, you know, what the interest rates are you'd pay on a mortgage.
What about rent versus buy for retirees or people that are about to retire or seniors?
Yeah. So if you stay in a home for the average amount of time a retiree does, which is about 15 years, it is cheaper to buy in almost every single market in the country. So the question is, which places is it, you know, cheaper even more cheaper to buy than to rent? And surprisingly, what we're finding is that actually some of the, you know, well-known retirement communities are actually a decently cheap place to buy a home. So if you look at you know, the well-known communities of the Villages in Florida or Sun City, you know, Arizona. Those places, over 15 years, if you put 20% down, you know, are about 50 to 60% cheaper to buy, you know, than to rent. So that was surprising. I didn't think the margins would be that high.
Thanks for your call, Don. Appreciate it very much. And next, we are going to hear from Mike in Santa Fe, New Mexico. What a pretty place.
This question is for Ralph. My wife and I have lived out here for 14 years, and we live in the northeast part of the city, and I know it's a smaller market, but can you give me some insight on inventory and that type of thing?
Yeah, so our inventory report actually only looked at the 100 largest markets, so Santa Fe doesn't make it, but we have looked at Albuquerque. Albuquerque is in there. Inventory is actually down in many parts of the Southwest, not just Phoenix or Tucson, but also Albuquerque, El Paso, and my hunch is that Santa Fe, if I go to look at the numbers, Santa Fe would also be down. So again, if you're a seller, that's actually good news. You're not going to have as much other properties on the market. That said, though, with inventory being down in the Southwest, prices have not surged because of that shortage. And in fact, in Santa Fe, price increases year over year have been pretty stable, you know, about 3%. And over a five-year period, actually have been fairly flat. It's only recently we started seeing price increases there. So I would say it's actually a very sustainable market. It's not, it's not overwhelmingly a buyer's market, not overwhelmingly a seller's market, just generally a healthy market.
So the point is that if you're going to sell that property, you got to make sure that property is standing tall and priced well for that particular market, as opposed to expecting to hit a home run.
Exactly. It's not surging like some of the other parts of the West, you know, Phoenix or Las Vegas.
I assume in Santa Fe, it's probably like Aspen and a lot of other of those mountain communities where very nice, probably very well-to-do. There may be a lot of people there that are house rich and maybe, you know, cash poor, but the reality of the situation is that, I'm just guessing now, that there's a market for that house somewhere that's a pretty good market.
Exactly. Your home may take, you know, certainly a little bit longer to sell than other markets. But one of the other things that we've also seen, there's been other reports done this on as well, that vacation home, second home buying is actually starting to tick up. And I know Santa Fe is a market, just like Tom mentioned, you know, some like Aspen or Vail, you know, which mm-hmm. tends to have a higher share of second home markets. Might start to see an increase because of that sort of secondary home demand, you know, over the next couple of years.
I don't know if you guys have done much on this, but what about this home affordable, the refinancing and all that stuff? Is that still going strong now?
It is. It's not. There hasn't been a big, you know, influx into that mm-hmm. program, so it's not. It's not having any, you know, major impacts, say, over the last 1 or 2 years, major changes in the impacts of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's certainly there. It is, you know, it is going strong, you know, from a policy perspective. You know, question is, you know, how you know, much is it still needed, and more importantly, where is it still needed?
Fair to say it's helped stabilize the market, though?
It depends on what side of the aisle you're on. Mm-hmm. You know, we think it certainly helped, you know, it may have helped the you know, housing market recover a bit, but, you know, the big driver of the recovery has just been the economy in general.
You're listening to Ralph McLaughlin. He is the chief economist for Trulia and also involved with the Zillow Group. And we're going to come back and take Zuby's call. But first, I want to say that I'm sitting in for Bob Brinker. My name is Tom Bakar, and this is Money Talk.
Money Talk.
Here's an idea. Instead of waiting for your boss to give you a raise, give yourself one. It's easier than you think. By refinancing your mortgage with Quicken Loans, you could add hundreds of dollars each month to your bottom line. Like a boss. To learn how, call 800-QUICKEN or visit us at quickenloans.com. Again, that number is 800-QUICKEN. Quicken Loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSConsumerAccess.org, number 3030.
Every day a new must-have smart product launches. Here's what's smart. Protecting what matters, your home, your family. Kidde makes that simple. Worry-free smoke and carbon monoxide alarms provide 10 years of nonstop power, no low battery chirps, and the remote link monitor and camera guard your home while you're gone and send alerts to your phone. No cords, no hubs, no stress. Smart, simple security. They've been protecting homes for nearly 100 years. Choose Kidde at the Home Depot. Now that's smart.
Pop quiz for all business owners. If you're not incorporated and someone sues your business, which one of these can you lose? Your home, your car, or your life savings? The answer? All three. Because if you're not incorporated, it's not just your business that can be sued, it's you too. Which means you could lose everything. Once business owners realize the risk of not being incorporated, they usually scramble to incorporate or form an LLC. To make it quick and easy, Incorporate.com is now giving away a free incorporation guide to all business owners, so you can incorporate in just 10 minutes. For your free 10-minute incorporation guide, call now 1-800-400-4396. Protect your financial future. At Incorporate.com, they don't provide legal or financial advice. They just make incorporating or forming an LLC quick and easy. Call now for your free 10-minute incorporation guide. 1-800-400-4396. Hurry while supplies last. 1-800-400-4396. That's 1-800-400-4396.
Are you over 25 and need to flatten your belly? If so, the next 60 seconds are crucial to your well-being because we're giving away free trials of the Belly Flattening Discovery Nubiotics to anyone who wants to flatten their bloated belly fast. To experience dramatic results, call now for your free trial. But hurry while we're still giving them away for free. 1-800-900-3519. Nubiotics is scientifically formulated with natural ingredients to flatten bloated bellies fast by cleansing pounds of rotting food and toxic sludge from your body. It even combats periodic heartburn and acid reflux. But hurry. Due to overwhelming demand, there's a strict limit of one free trial per household. Again, if you're over 25 and looking for maximum belly flattening in minimum time, it's crucial that you write down this number for your free trial of Nubiotics. Hurry. Call now for details while we're still giving it away for free. 1-800-900-3519. That's 1-800-900-3519. If lines are busy, try again. 1-800-900-3519.
People who can afford a LASIK procedure sure are lucky. Imagine being able to throw away your contacts and glasses. Imagine waking up tomorrow with 20/20 vision. Too bad everyone can't afford LASIK. Well, guess what? There's a company that agrees with you. The LASIK Vision Institute is now offering dramatically low prices on high-quality LASIK to make it affordable for everyone. That means you get the latest FDA-approved LASIK technology for a fraction of what others charge. And if you call right now, we'll schedule a free appointment so you can discover if LASIK is right for you. Results may vary. Call 1-800-700-8145. Even better, if you're one of the first 100 callers, ask about an extra 20% discount off our already low-cost services. We've already performed over 1 million procedures. Let us help you. Discover how you can get the quality LASIK experience you deserve at a fraction of what others charge. For your free appointment, call 1-800-700-8145. 1-800-700-8145.
This is Money Talk.
Tom Vakar sitting in for Bob Brinker, who's taking a well-deserved day off, and he'll be back next week. And we are sitting here with Ralph McLaughlin, who is the chief economist for Trulia, also involved with Zillow. And we are going to now go to Zuby in Richland, Washington. Go ahead, Zuby.
Hi, this question is for Ralph. Hello to both of you. My question is, I have a daughter who just got married. Her husband and they both are 30 years old. He just finished his dental school and is working as a professor. And my daughter is just finishing her residency. So I guess they're making about 150, some thousand. They live in Scottsdale. They like it over there. And my son-in-law was born and raised over there. So that's a city they like. So they would like to buy a house. They're renting right now and paying about $1,600, which are just going to waste, I guess. So what are your recommendations for them?
Yeah, so that's a great question. That's probably one of the questions that I get asked most is, you know, should I or should someone I know rent or buy? The great news that you'll be pleased to hear is that Phoenix is actually a very good place to buy, especially if you plan on staying in your home, or if your daughter and her husband plan on staying in their home for, you know, at least 4 or 5 years. Then it's going to be cheaper, and it'll be cheaper by sort of a substantial margin, probably about 30-40% cheaper over a 4 to 5 year period. So that is good news. But you know, the caveat that, you know, I like to tell everyone is that it really does come down to personal circumstance. The good news is that we actually have a really good calculator on our site, www.trulia.com, rent versus buy. And there you can use our calculator to tailor it to any individual's personal financial circumstance. So you can punch in what they're paying for rent now, what the price of a home is that they would think about buying, what their tax bracket, their effective tax rate is, what down payment, what their credit score is, and actually get a very tailored estimate as to whether or not it's going to be cheaper to buy than to rent.
Zuby, let me ask you this. What about their student debt? Do they have a lot of student debt?
Yeah, my daughter, no, we paid for everything, so she's loan free. My son-in-law, yes, he has a student loan.
So student loans are not a deal killer. I have them, and I've been able to buy, you know, over the last few years. So it's not a deal killer. It's just, you know, how much, you know, is that debt, and how much of their income per month do they have to spend servicing that debt. But in general, Scottsdale and Phoenix are going to be, you know, relatively good places to buy. Appreciation there has been very strong over the last year, about 9% in the Phoenix metro, in Scottsdale about 5%. But Scottsdale, you know, very, very affluent, nice community, tends to be, you know, more evergreen demand in that type of city than other parts of Phoenix, just because you know, those in the higher end tend to be less affected by the general economy.
I'm interrupting in between. Sorry about that. But they said they can, my son-in-law said they can get 5%. I think the doctors and the dentist, they get some kind of I don't know how to say it. They get like 5% or something.
Some sort of subsidy or some sort of assistance?
Yeah, something like that. I didn't catch what he said, but they also have that. So they are planning to buy in Scottsdale. So my question is it okay to just go ahead and, you know, invest in there? I mean, they should not. Of course, as you can see, she's going to finish her residency and another year of fellowship, and after that she will be making good amount of money as well. And he is already is. So at this point, I guess this is the time for them to buy a house over there. Like I heard part of it, because when I switched on the radio, you were saying it's a good time to buy a, not good time to buy a house, but because they're living in that, they are so young, and the house market is going to go up. So this is, you know, this is what we see in future. So for them, it is advisable to buy a house. That's what I wanted to ask you. This was my question. They looked at Sun City, but it is too far, and they do not want to live, since they're little younger, so they don't want to.
Yeah, well, Sun City, you got to be a retiree.
All right, thank you very much for your call, Zuby.
They don't want to. She's going to do her fellowship over there for a year, but she likes the place, but she doesn't like to live there because they don't have people of the age. Like, you know, it's a retirement community.
Well, at least fortunately, they are in a position where they can afford to look around a little bit, and I think that's very good. But thank you very much, Zuby, for your call. So My question is this. We've got a few more minutes left. Okay, somebody puts their house on the market, and when does it start smelling like dead fish? When is it time to take it off the market, or do you just leave it on the market? What's kind of like that balance there?
You know, so there's no right or wrong answer. There's no concrete number. Mm-hmm. If your house is starting to stay on the market, I would say 50% longer, 30 to 50% longer than most other homes, that's probably going to be a sign of a couple things. Either one, you've mispriced the house, or two, there is, related to mispricing a house, there's something not quite right about the house, some work that needs to be done that would lead to the listing price appearing to be mispriced, appearing to be out of whack. Say if your foundation needs a lot of work or it needs a new roof or any sort of major works, that could be a sign. So, you know, if your house doesn't sell around the average time that most houses are selling in your market, you know, wouldn't freak out. There probably is some, you know, there's natural variation, 5 to 10% on either side is probably acceptable. When you start getting around the 20, 30 to 50% longer than most houses, I would have a serious conversation with your agent, or perhaps have a serious conversation with another agent to get a second opinion.
That's the other thing. You know, sometimes people think they sign a listing agreement, and, you know, it's just like it lasts forever. It doesn't last forever, and you do have a right, if they're not doing the job for you, once whatever that term is, to go look for somebody else, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And if your house hasn't sold and you've seen other houses, particularly in your neighborhood, you know, sell much faster, that's going to be, you know, a red flag to maybe you know, start looking around, or at least have an honest conversation with your agent.
Okay, very good. Well, Ralph, I appreciate you doing this. The website again is?
www.trulia.com. If you want to look at our latest research, it's trulia.com/blog/trends. Rent versus buy report coming out in a couple weeks.
Very good. Well, that's very good. Ralph is with Trulia. He is their chief economist, and he's a very nice guy, and he's done this for us a couple of times now, and I very much appreciate it. Coming up in our next hour, we are going to talk about a lot of things in general. We may go back to the subject if you wish. It's up to you. This is talk radio, so you make the decisions on what we talk about. But we had a pretty lively hour in the first hour talking about who's better for the economy out of the five presidential candidates. If you want to talk about that, the number to call is 1-800-934-2221. Again, 1-800-934-2221. My name's Tom Bakar, sitting in for Bob Brinker, who will be back next week. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back in just a few minutes. This is Money Talk.